More than 65 million Americans serve as a family caregiver. Are you one of them? Who are you taking care of? You're taking care of your aging parent, you got a special needs child, you got somebody in your life who's been diagnosed with something, a traumatic event or an illness. You're in the coronavirus, in the full sway of it. Mental illness, you got somebody in your family who has a mental illness, you got somebody in your family who has a drug impairment or addiction or some type of alcoholic condition. Those are chronic impairments. Wherever there's a chronic impairment, there's a caregiver. And we're here to help you see a path to safety where you can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, even a more joyful life. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you now my 35th year as a caregiver, an understanding of the journey, and I'm offering a lifetime of experience as a lifeline to my fellow caregivers. What does safety look like? What does help look like? What does hope look like when you're a caregiver? And these are things that we discuss on the show. If you want to be a part of the show, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Our phone lines are open. We start off with a trivia question, oftentimes in a scripture and even sometimes a hymn and sometimes all three. And that's kind of where we are today on this one. And this is going to be a little bit hard for you guys. Well, some of you. Some of you may not be. Some of you may be just real scholars at this sort of thing. But I want you to tell me what hymn this stanza is from. Okay? What hymn this stanza is from. And if you know the number, 888-589-8840. It's not in every hymnal, by the way. So this may be a little bit obscure for some. But here it is. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we, and that's the title of the song, comes right after that. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that hymn is? Those of you who are regular listeners to the show know that I'm a big fan of the hymns. I was a music major. I've been in church music since. I don't really have any recollection of not being involved in church music, and I've come to cherish and love the old hymns of our faith. And I'm on a mission to help people remember these and hopefully integrate them back into their lives, because these are born out of great challenges, great difficulties, great sorrows in many cases, and also great theology. For some of these ones that have stuck around. Some of the ones that are out there today, a lot of stuff coming out, has a little bit of weaker theology. But we're about, on this show, making sure that we're equipped as caregivers with good, sound doctrines and theology, so that when the storms do come, that we're not just blown over. We're not just thrown aside. That we can. You never know how valuable an anchor is until you're in strong seas, you know, and that's where we are as caregivers, that we're in strong seas all the time, and we got to have something that anchors us. What anchors you? What anchors you as you're going through this thing? You look at our situation with the country going through all this turmoil. You know, our country seems rudderless. We seem adrift, and what is anchoring us? And for, you know, several hundred years, our anchor was in God as a collective. The Word of God was more authoritative than even the Constitution. And I would suggest to you that we have unhooked ourselves from that, and we are adrift. And a lot of that came about because of the founding fathers had an understanding of the depravity of man. And so they built this elaborate system of checks and balances. But John Adams said many, many years ago, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said basically the Constitution is not going to do much if you have people that are immoral or irreligious, that just, you know, have no anchoring in anything other than just whatever they want to do. And that's a true statement. And we're seeing that being played out every day. So what anchors you as a caregiver? What is What do you bow the knee to? And I would suggest to you, if it is not the Word of God, then it's whatever that you're holding on to then will not sustain. Now, you can disagree with me. Try it out and see if it works. If you want to disagree with me, let me know how that works for you. But I'm bringing 3.5 decades of this, and every kind of failure you can name, and I've found that Scripture holds fast every single time. The authority of the Word of God is, you know, paramount. But it doesn't mean much to say it if we actually don't know what it says in it. And that's where a lot of these great hymn writers were. So this is what we do on this show, is we try to speak in a way that caregivers understand. I speak fluent caregiver. And I want to make sure that you understand these principles, these doctrines, these scriptures, and what does this mean? And a lot of this can be found in the great hymns of our church. So anyway, so if you know what this is, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay, not a grief nor a loss. And a lot of you are dealing with a lot of grief and a lot of loss. And there's not one grief and not one loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we would. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Nancy in Mississippi. Nancy, good morning. How are you feeling? Did we lose Nancy? Hold on a second. There you go, Nancy. How are you feeling, Nancy?
Pretty good. Thank you. I was calling because I just would like to ask for prayer for my family and for my husband, who recently lost a leg.
How did he lose his leg?
Well, he had an aneurysm behind the knee, strangely enough.
And are they putting a prosthesis on him?
No, he just lost it the 30th okay. of December. So.
Oh, this is brand new.
This is brand new, yes. The aneurysm supposedly behind the knee caused the circulation was gone in the lower part of his foot, and his foot turned purple. And I thought after we had a toenail removed.
Before we get into the nitty gritty of the amputation, and I understand this, my wife's a double amputee. That's why I asked. Tell me, right, what is your specific need for prayer today? Because I don't want to run out of time up against the brakes and so forth.
Well, that he will, as he returns to a nursing home today, that he will, that they will, obviously they, their work is that they help people, and that he will get better. He may not be a prosthetic candidate, but that he will continue to get better. And
It says here that he has dementia. Did you say he has dementia?
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right, hang on just a second. We're up against a break here. Nancy, what I'd like for you to do, we're going to do two things, because certainly we want to lift him up in prayer, but also we're going to talk about you. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy thing to watch a loved one lose a limb.
Right.
I've done it twice, and it's a painful thing. And so you're watching him, and then he has to go back to a facility where you're not able to engage with him. So we're going to talk about that a little bit too when we come back. Can you hang on through the break just a minute? This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back. I'm forgiven. Now I have a reason for living. Jesus keeps giving and giving. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. 888-589-8840. I'm Peter Rosenberger. If you want to be a part of the show, 888-589-8840. Our trivia question today is, what hymn does this verse come from? Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay, not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross. but is blessed if we, and see if you know that one. We're going back to Nancy in Mississippi. Nancy, good morning. I wanted to continue our conversation. How are you doing? Nancy, you still with us? Now she's not there. She's talking about her husband is going back to nursing home. He just lost his leg, a vascular issue from an aneurysm, and wants prayer for him. And I would ask that we all do that. And, Lord, we do lift up Nancy and her husband in this difficult time. It is not an easy thing to watch somebody lose a limb. And he's dealing with dementia. He's in a nursing home. We got the coronavirus. Her visitation is limited. And I know that this weighs heavy on her and him both. And I would ask that you comfort and strengthen them, Father. And as it says in this hymn, not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross. But you're going to bless this if we follow you in this, Father. And we just lift her up for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Catherine in Virginia. Catherine, you there with us this morning?
Yes, and I know the song.
You know the song, Catherine. Very now well, you got to sing it. That's the only kicker. Okay. You got to sing it, Catherine.
I don't sing well in the morning, but I'll try.
No, it's okay. You don't. That's very good, Catherine. Away.
Is that it?
That's it. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Let's see. Isn't that a great hymn?
Love it.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. And I don't sing very well in the morning either. But you'd say great, by the way, Catherine. Trust and obey. Well, there's no other way to be happy in
Jesus. To trust and obey.
Isn't that a great hymn? That's why I married a singer, so that I don't have to sing. So you got that, Catherine. Way to go. Great job on that. Tell me about your mother-in-law.
Well, I got to say, she's wonderful. We've gotten closer and closer to her. And we know we have less and less time with her because she's 84 now. And she's fascinating. She's wonderful. She's a Christian. She grew up on a farm. I love talking to her. We enjoy serving her. We go there and we take care of her. Physically, she's okay, but we just take her to the doctors. We mow her lawn. We just help her out, change her light bulbs, things like that. It's just not a burden. It's a gift.
So,
right?
What's going on with her?
Oh, well, just she has.
She's just elderly, or does she have some? Okay.
She has gout in her foot. It's something that her family seems to get. So sometimes she can't walk. She can't drive anymore. She's alone. So we try to visit her often. We don't live with her yet. We all feel a little stuck where we're at. We could maybe move into a new house, but we have many children. We've had 6 children, so we're balancing those 2 things. We homeschool. But whenever she needs anything, we go, and we shop for her. We take her to the doctors. We keep her company. We research medical things for her. We've improved her healthcare somewhat, just by researching.
What have you learned about yourself through this process? I mean, you've raised 6 children, and that's quite a feat. I'm one of 6 children, but what have you learned about yourself as you've gone through this?
Well, one thing, it sounds small, but with 5 still at home, and we homeschool, is I need to drop things when she needs us, and stop the homeschooling. Just throw a few books in the car, maybe listen to something educational, but I have to put myself second, you know, for her. My kids can learn the next day.
Tell me why that is. Mm-hmm. Tell me why you feel
that. I don't know. It's just love.
And what, does that look like, putting yourself second like that?
Well, there's just that moment where I have to change my plans because I'm, you know, child-focused, really, household-focused. I might have a shopping list. I might have, you know, a grocery run that I need to do. I might want to cook something. I might have something on the stove. I just turn off the stove, put something in the refrigerator, grab a few workbooks, and we all go. It's not a wonderful drive. I make the most of
it. So what you're saying is it requires a level of flexibility.
Yeah, just putting myself second, trusting, like you said, in God. It's not about me and my plans, you know, all of a sudden. It seems so important to have a plan every day, right?
It seems very important when you have six children.
It seems important.
Would it be appropriate to say that it's not necessarily putting yourself second, but it is making yourself more flexible?
Yeah, and just I love that you brought up that song because it fits perfectly. It really is about trusting, and it really isn't about me. And God isn't really requiring that much. I've heard people with you know, many more problems call in to your show. And, you know,
well, they do, and that's probably going to escalate as she continues to age and so forth. There'll be other issues. And I think that a good plan, because you like plans, and it's important when you're a homeschooling mom of six children, you know, and also you got a mother-in-law issue, it's, you know, plans are important, and you don't want to, you know, jeopardize the well-being of one person at the expense, you know, for someone else. You want to learn how to incorporate all of it in there as you do it to the best of what you can do. But if you constantly put yourself in the scenario, I'm going to put myself second, it tends to foster a mentality that your needs are expendable, and they're not. And what I would suggest is just a vocabulary change that, you know, we're going to have to learn to be flexible. You know, there's an old proverb. It's not in scripture, but it says, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And because that flexibility, y'all can write that down too, by the way. That flexibility is going to be tested as she continues to have other issues encroaching upon her. Does your husband, is he involved with her as well?
Well, he's actually the one. He's the one who does most everything. I just bring the children so she, you know, has a nice visit. And he's the one who does, he and my older son, and we all help out, you know, with the yard. That's actually kind of a big deal, but we do work very hard on our yard.
But well, yeah, and these are all flexible, important things, but I would suggest to you, when you have your family get-togethers around the table with your six children and with your husband, not with her, but with them, say, look, you know, we love your grandmother, and she's our family. We're going to honor her. We're going to follow scripture and all these things. And it's using different words, because if you constantly say, well, I'm going to put myself second, I'm going to put myself third, well, then eventually you got six children, you're going to put yourself seventh.
Yeah,
and they don't need you way at the back. They need you leading at the front with flexibility and learning to adapt, and they learn from you on how to do that. So use those vocabulary words. One of the things I set out to do when I started this show many years ago was give caregivers a better vocabulary of what help looks like and what and how to define this, and to give non-caregivers a better vocabulary of what this looks like, so that we're saying things with our mouth that are more reflective of what we're actually doing. My wife has enormous amounts of needs. 80 surgeries, both legs gone. I mean, you know, all this kind of stuff. You've heard the story, and she lives with severe pain all the time.
Yeah.
If I put myself second, if I have that mentality, then it doesn't take too terribly long when you live in that kind of crucible to start coming up with a martyrdom complex. And
okay,
as opposed to, I'm not putting myself second, I am not putting her first. I am simply recognizing that her needs require a great amount of flexibility on my part. And
okay.
but I have to exercise. I have to eat. I have to rest. I have to sit down. I have to be still. And those are hard things to do. And I have to be creative to do it, to carve out that kind of time. And you, with six children, are going to have to be creative. You already are. You know, you can't run that type of tribe, and not be creative and not be organized. But part of that organization is a sense of flexibility and a sense of, you know what, we're going to pull together in this. We're going to adapt. We're going to learn. We're going to grow. But we're going to constantly evaluate, you know, where we're going. Do you know who Susanna Wesley was?
Yes. Yes, I have a son named Charles Wesley.
Well, John and Charles were part of, she had, I think...
10?
Yeah, at least 10 kids.
Yes,
a lot of them died
away, but she,
before they reached adulthood. But
she might have had 14.
She homeschooled. Yeah, she had a passel of them. I think actually she had 19. Somebody correct me on that if I got it wrong. But she had a passel of them, and she was extremely committed to educating and organizing for these children. And she put the needs of the family, and actually while her husband was away, she started a pretty significant Bible study, and people got mad at her because she was a woman doing this, and yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of drama, but she told her husband, well, you get back here and you start doing your job, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
And, cause he was traveling to London or something doing that. And so but at no point did she come across a like, you know, she would diminish herself. She understood her role very clearly, and she stepped up and did that. Sounds like you have a lot of those similar traits. But as you do bring them together. Let them see you be flexible. Let them see you adapt, but let them see you lead as well. Okay? We've got to run to a break. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back. Imagine a parent at the end of a rope caring for a special needs child, and that parent could get a daily phone call from a caring person, breaking through the isolation and checking in on that stressed mom or that stressed dad. What kind of difference do you think that would make? Imagine going to the grocery store in peace while knowing a sentry was on duty for your loved one at home. Being able to look at them on your phone, talking to them at any time from anywhere. Even if the power goes out, imagine being able to safely monitor your loved one in an assisted facility, even during the quarantine. Imagine a system that guaranteed your privacy so much, it provides a $1 million guarantee. These and so many more services are just one click away for you as a caregiver. I've tested this out in my home, and the time is now for caregivers to rethink how we give care. With 92% of people stating they want to age in their own home, caregivers are facing a daunting challenge. As the COVID-19 has made us reevaluate placing loved ones in assisted living, we need to caregive smarter. And that's why I want to tell you about Constant Companion. Constant Companion is using tech to offload the stress of caregivers. Can't take everything away. It's not a replacement for the human touch, but it is one more tool for your tool belt to help you live a stronger, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life as a caregiver. How about checking this out? Companion 24/7. Companion247.com. That's www.companion247.com. www.companion247.com. Use that promo code caregiver for a special discount. The promo code is caregiver. I'm telling you, this is life-changing for you and me as a caregiver. I'm using this right now. I want you to as well. This is Peter Rosenberger. Join us at hopeforthecaregiver.com. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. Welcome to the show that is for you exclusively as a family caregiver. On American Family Radio, we're live. I'm Peter Rosenberger, now in my 35th year as a caregiver. through a medical nightmare. I've learned a lot of things along the way, every bit of it the hard way. And but I guess those kinds of lessons stick with you. 888-589-8840. And along the way, I've learned the value of these great hymns of the faith that as a pianist I play, and they're very strengthening to me. They're very comforting to me. I put it out on a CD. It's called Songs for the Caregiver. You can download it at all the streaming services. If you want a physical copy of that CD, you can go out to our website and see how to do that. 615-297-5388. By the way, you can call to our friends over at Logos Bookstore in Nashville. They'll be glad to ship you one. 615-297-5388 if you want to get one of those as well. And Gracie sings about, I don't know, about almost half of the songs on there, but it's very simple, and it's called Songs for the Caregiver. And I put these hymns on there for a reason, because they sustain, and they will build us up as caregivers as we're dealing with these sorts of things. And today I had my trivia question was one of those hymns. And I try to, when I do the trivia stuff, I try to do things that are going to connect with where we are. I'm not just doing trivia like, you know, what was the atomic weight of such and such element. It's all got to be relevant to where we are as a caregiver. And the verse was from this, the stanza from this hymn was, trust and obey is the hymn. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share. Now let's stop right there for just a moment. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share. Now, if you're a caregiver for any length of time through somebody who has a, you know, any kind of significant impairment, you understand that verse, burden we bear, sorrow we share. But our toil he doth richly repay. And you understand toiling. That's not a word we use a lot, but it is an important word in this song, not a toil. But our toil he doth richly repay, not a grief nor a loss. How many of you understand grief? How many of you understand loss? I would suggest to you that a great many of you do. Not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that may sound like a almost infantile in the way it approaches that, but there's great truth in this hymn. Trust and obey. And as a country, we need that right now more than ever. But it's these, and you're going to hear me do these hymns often and play them. I've got a keyboard hooked up here through the board, and I like to play them because these things get into our spirit. They get into our soul. They permeate into us. And we hang on to this when moments come that are incredibly difficult and painful. And whether it's a particular verse that you've memorized, a hymn, a psalm, whatever it comes to your mind to anchor you in there. That old hymn, My Anchor Holds. And you know the one, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, not in device or creed, but it, you know, these are songs that mean something. And I was watching a documentary the other day on Fanny Crosby, one of the most prolific hymn writers of all time, probably, I think, of all time. She wrote like over 10,000 hymns. A lot of them she had to write under a pseudonym because she was writing so many. Her publisher wanted to do multiple books, but he wanted everything just to be Fanny Crosby. So she did it under a bunch of different names. And she was blind. She's blind since an infant. A friend came to her and said, Fanny, and then she didn't write. She grew up in a Christian home where she memorized scripture as a child, but she did not really have any kind of personal relationship with Christ until she was 30. And most of the hymns she wrote after she was 40. And a friend came to her and said, you know, Fanny, I've got a tune that I feel like the Lord has just given me. Can you help me with this? And she sung the tune for her. And Fanny sat there blind and wrote out the lyrics in 5 minutes to this one. Can you get, I want you to wrap your mind around that. In 5 minutes, she wrote out, I mean, she did the lyrics for Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And people asked her, said, Fanny, how can you write these songs about Jesus when he let you be blind? And she said, oh, no, you don't understand. The next face I see will be his. You know, we have this tremendous legacy that has been passed to us by people of the faith. Hebrews says, when appropriate, remember those who spoke the word of the Lord to you, and when appropriate, imitate their faith. And this implies that we constantly revisit this legacy that has been passed on to us through hymns, through the writings, through teaching, and most of all through Scripture, to anchor us when these things hit, and they will hit. They're hitting our nation right now, collectively. And a friend of mine called me up the other day, and he said, I've been thinking about you and Gracie a lot because, you know, we're all freaking out with all this stuff, with the pandemic and you know, the politics and everything else, and it's just really unsettling. And then it dawned on me that you and Gracie have lived in unsettledness like this for decades. How have you done it? And I answered truthfully, we've done it poorly. but we constantly are having to remind ourselves to anchor ourselves in the Word of God. Anchor ourselves in His truth, His sustaining truth, His provision, His faithfulness above everything else. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Laban in Kansas. Laban, good morning. How are you feeling?
Good morning. Very well, thank you. Yeah. When I heard that song, it took me a while to figure it out because, you know, but anyway, I grew up in a country church where we sang in the denominational hymnal on Sunday morning, but we had a little brown hymnal that we sang out of on Sunday night.
And I know those things.
The line that I always think of in trust and obey is one of the verses says, in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we will walk by his side in the way. And I always had to ask myself, am I walking by his side in the way, or am I just in the way?
I'm usually anyway, in the way. I'm usually in the way, Laban. Well, yeah, tell me about what's going on with your wife.
Well, she had a slight stroke, and of course no stroke is a small stroke, but relatively speaking, she had it messed with her vision, and so she doesn't drive, and so otherwise she's, you know, very capable, but other issues, you know, mobility and so forth, a little bit, you know, I am pretty much the housekeeper, and so forth.
Are you any good at it, Laban?
Nothing to brag about. And I still work 40 hours a week, and we're fixing up a house, a fixer upper. And so I think if I have an issue, it is just being pulled in many directions, you know, and so I so appreciate your program and helping to put it all in perspective and trust in the Lord to lead, you know, step by step. But
I will give you a secret that I learned, and I do the housekeeping and the cooking and everything else, and I'm not as fastidious as I should be. I'm getting there. I was asked one time I was being asked about technology and caregivers and what kind of technology do I incorporate as a caregiver? And I said, well, I have two pieces of very valuable technology. And one of them is a Bluetooth, for my phone so that I'm constantly hands-free. Because I'm always working. I mean, I've done national interviews while cooking dinner. And wow. I don't make any apologies for it. If you hear pots and pans in the background, I don't make any apologies for it, because I'm thinking, hey, I'm a caregiver, deal with it. And but the other piece of technology I use is a crock pot.
While I was waiting for you to catch up with my call, I got the laundry going.
I respect that, man. And I'll be doing laundry and ironing, and I got a friend of mine that just constantly is needling me. She said, "You're going to make a great wife," you know. And I thought, well, first off, that's a terribly sexist thing to say, number one. And I'm always pushing for men to do more laundry and cooking and everything else, because I think we have misaligned these roles. But I respect that, Laban. I really do, because I've had people call in and men who were trying to care for their wives as they were caring for aging parents or whatever, and the men wanted to know how to better care for their wives, and they wanted to, you know, how they could. And as the conversation ensued, I could tell that the men was wanting, how can I help my wife help me better? And that's what I, you know, and they were wanting a little bit more attention. And I will, this is a family show, and I'll leave it at that. And I stopped them, and one of them was a pastor, and he was rather indignant that, you know, how dare I insinuate that he needs to do something besides his pastoral duties. And I asked him, what's going on in the laundry room? And you know, well, I'm working, and I'm like, dude, you know, get in there and do the laundry, get in there and clean the bathroom, you know? So that's some of the best seminary is the laundry room. And so Laban, I want you to do something for me. Okay. I want you to hang on. I'm going to send you a copy of my CD, Songs for the Caregiver. You like hymns?
Oh, wow.
And hang on through the break, because I want to ask you one more question. I want to ask you, can you hang on through the break? And I've been losing people when I do this. I don't know what's the matter with me.
I'll hang. I'm hanging.
Don't go anywhere, Laban. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. 888-589-8840.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Saddle up your horse. We got a trail to blaze. Actually, I think I'm giving some real thought to going up and saddling up today. We live in Montana, and the horses haven't been ridden in a while. I've been recovering from a knee surgery, and I think it's about time for me to get. We got some snow out there, so I may go ride in the snow. I don't know. I may not. I don't know. This is Peter Rosenberger. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is the show for you as a family caregiver, hosted by a caregiver, about caregivers, and it is helping us as caregivers navigate to a place of safety. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'm talking with Laban in Kansas. Laban, I want to ask you one more question. What's a hymn that means something to you that tugs at your ear every time it's played or you sing it or whatever? What's a hymn that means something to you?
My number one go-to hymn, when I start hearing a song that is just horrible on the radio or something, I start singing, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. And I hardly know more than one line, but I'll just sing that over and over just to drown out the rest of it. but I guess that's the first one that comes
that is
to mind.
That is another Fanny Crosby hymn.
Yeah,
That is a great hymn. I'm not going to sing it, Leigh, but you're going to have to sing it. That is a great hymn. I love that hymn.
Oh, and, beautiful.
Well, it is not on my CD, but Jim's going to get your information, and I'm going to send you a copy of my CD. It's called Songs for the Caregiver, and I put some hymns on there that just soothe my soul.
Oh,
and Gracie,
yeah.
Gracie sings, like I said, almost half of them, and I've got mm-hmm. some instrumental mm-hmm. stuff, and she does an arrangement on this thing, the two of us with orchestra. She starts off a cappella with Be Still My Soul, and then goes into Balm and Gilead. Oh. That'll just break your heart. It is so beautiful.
Yep.
And you'll love it. So if you'll hang on, Laban, but thank you for the privilege of playing that song for you. Now, every time I play hymn, I'm going to think of you. Now, I won't sing it very well because I can't sing very well, Laban. I do the best I can.
Yeah, you've challenged me again to learn more than the first line.
Well, these things do sustain us, don't they? They really do.
Oh, yeah.
And so thank you for just letting me have that conversation with you about that, because anytime anybody wants to call in about the hymns, if I have my glasses on, I can see the hymnal, I'll try to play it. If I can't, I'll wing it by ear, by memory. So, but I love to play for my fellow caregivers. This is a way we can build each other up. And you have blessed me this morning. So hang on, Jim's going to get your information, and I want to send you a copy of this CD. And I really appreciate the call, Laban. Okay.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate
you got you've got a kindred spirit here on this show, and you call in anytime you want.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll see you, Homer. Homer in Oklahoma. Homer, how are you feeling? It's been a long time.
Good morning, Peter. I am feeling encouraged. Your playing your message this morning truly resonates. The hymn that really touches my heart is Horatio Spafford's It Is Well With My Soul, and I hope
that's a great one, Homer. We're not going to play Stump the Band this morning, are we?
You know? No sir. You're really hitting up some key points, speaking as a man.
I see what you did there, Homer. Some key points. Key points. Yes. I see what you did there, Homer.
Black and white keys. And I am so encouraged, because having been a caregiver for so many years, oftentimes I become frustrated, as you, with those who perceive us as mere linear males. And I have been refined, as I'm sure Horatio Spafford was as well, through suffering. And I possess a new skill set, so keep preaching your message, keep playing. God bless you, my friend.
Homer, thank you for the encouragement, and if I didn't have a bank full of phone calls, I would play the whole hymn for you, but it is on Songs for the Caregiver. You can download that today from all the streaming services, and that hymn is on there. I put It Is Well With My Soul on there. It's one of my favorites as well. Homer, you're a blessing, and thank you. It's good to hear your voice again. It's been too long. I look forward to the next time, all right?
All right, my friend. Have a great day.
You too. Mary in Missouri. Mary, good morning. How are you feeling?
Good morning. I'm fine. And I'm just calling to reiterate the things that you said. I was a caregiver for about 10 years, and I took care of people that died in my home.
Mary, you're a bit distorted. It's a little hard to hear you. Are you close to your phone? Are you on speaker or what?
I am close to my phone, but I get poor signals because of the hills. Can you hear me?
Poor signals because of the hills. All right. Well, we'll do the best we can. Tell me real quick. We're running out of time here. Tell me real quickly, what's on your heart and mind this morning?
My heart was where you were talking about the hymns. I had a piano, and sometimes in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep, I would just get up and I would play every hymn in the hymnals that I had.
I love that, Mary. I've done that myself. I love that.
The Love of God was one of my favorite hymns, if you know that one. Is greater.
I told y'all not to play Stump the Band this morning here. Y'all gonna test me here because I don't have my glass. I can't see this hymnal. The Love of God.
It's beautiful. It's how wonderful God is and how majestic and how far-reaching He is in our lives. When we are at the lowest ebb, we can sit down and sing. Just take a hymnal. For people that are caregivers, I know what that's like, and I know what it's like to be 24/7, 365. And one thing that I would exhort everyone that's a caregiver is to make a way to get away for a while, to kind of get your head on straight. That's it.
You going to sing it for me, Mary?
No.
He shall forever more endure. It shall forever more endure.
Yeah.
I'm holding a hymn to do this, so I'm doing this one-handed here. Those saints and the saints and angels song. I'm sorry, my eyes are not working this morning. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever more endure. The saints and angels song. That's a great song to have this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
I've got to get a better way to say. I've got a keyboard here. My piano is not in here in the studio, and so I got a keyboard in here. So I have to get something to, so I can hold the hymnal. But if y'all start doing Stump the Band, this is going to get really tough for me here. But I'm going to do the best I can. Well, Mary, you have inspired me this morning. I love that because you are, when anybody that gets up in the middle of the night and plays the hymnal, you have my attention, and I love that.
All night long, every hymn. Just go through the hymnal, and you'll be so enriched and so encouraged.
Martin Luther used to say that next to the Word of God, music elevates our soul more than anything else. And
yes.
I agree. And Bach, whose theology was so spectacular, and he is considered the father of church music, understood that 200 years after Luther. And his music, that's why it's so timeless. It is so beautifully constructed, and all so much of Western music is based on that, and these hymns are based on that. So I appreciate you bringing that to our attention, Mary. I've got to run.
I got a couple
more calls here. I got to take in. I'm gonna try to squeeze in for the end of the hour. Mary, thank you for listening. And you call in. I'll play that hymn, and I'm gonna work on that. And next time I play it, I'll be thinking of you with it because that is that's a beautiful hymn. So thank you, Mary.
God bless you, brother.
You too. Thank you. Linda in Tennessee. Good morning, Linda. Only got just about a minute or two, but how are you feeling?
I am feeling blessed. I am definitely blessed.
Well, that's good to hear. What's going on with you real quick?
Well, 4.5 years ago, my husband had a massive heart attack, and less than a month after that, he had a mild stroke. And when he was in the hospital, but there were 7 doctors, and 5 of them said that there was nothing they could do when he had his heart attack that could just make him comfortable. Well, 4 stints later, after 2 of those 7 doctors said, well, let us try. And I prayed about it and prayed about it, and after the 4 stints, he was alive. And less than a month later, when he had his mild stroke, he went to the same hospital and dealt with the same doctors, and God preserved his life once more. And
Melinda, I only got about 30 seconds. Tell me what's the big issue for you today.
I don't have near the frustration I had when it first happened. A year and a half ago, internet went out, and I've been reading my Bible every single night. I pray to the good Lord above for knowledge and understanding, and he has lifted such a weight off of me.
And well, that's what our verse is today. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, nor a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. And Linda, it sounds like that is the path that you're on. And I appreciate so much you calling. We've got to go. We're out of time. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next week.
Hey, this is John Butler, producer of Hope for the Caregiver, and I have learned something that you probably all know, that Gracie, his wife, lost her legs many, many years ago and started a prosthetic limb outreach ministry called Standing with Hope. And recently, they ended up with a rather unique and unexpected partner. Peter had a conversation with Gracie, and take a listen.
Gracie, when you envisioned doing a prosthetic limb outreach, did you ever think that inmates would help you do that?
Not in a million years.
When you go to the facility run by CoreCivic over in Nashville, and you see the faces of these inmates that are working on prosthetic limbs that you have helped collect from all over the country, that you put out the plea for, and they're disassembling, you see all these legs, like what you have, your own prosthetic
and
legs.
And arms, too.
And arms. Everything. When you see all this, what does that do to you?
Makes me cry. Because I see the smiles on their faces, and I know what it is to be locked someplace where you can't get out without somebody else allowing you to get out. Of course, being in the hospital so much and so long. And so these men are so glad that they get to be doing, as one man said, something good finally with my hands.
Did you know before you became an amputee that parts of prosthetic limbs could be recycled?
No, I had no idea. You know, I thought of peg leg. I thought of wooden legs. I never thought of titanium and carbon legs and flex feet and sea legs and all that. I never thought about that.
As you watch these inmates participate in something like this, knowing that they're helping other people now walk, they're providing the means for these supplies to get over there, what does that do to you just on a heart level?
I wish I could explain to the world what I see in there. And I wish that I could be able to go and say, this guy right here, he needs to go to Africa with us. I never not feel that way. Every time, you know, you always make me have to leave. I don't want to leave them. I feel like I'm at home with them. And I feel like that we have a common bond that I would have never expected, that only God could put together.
Now that you've had an experience with it, what do you think of the faith-based programs that CoreCivic offers?
I think they're just absolutely awesome. And I think every prison out there should have faith-based programs like this, because the return rate of the men that are involved in this particular faith-based program and the other ones like it, but I know about this one, is just an amazingly low rate compared to those who don't have them. And I think that that says so much. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has something to do with God using somebody broken to help other broken people.
If people want to donate a used prosthetic limbs, whether from a loved one who passed away or, you know, somebody who outgrew them, you've donated some of your own for them to do. How do they do that? Where do they find it?
Please go to standingwithhope.com/recycle. standingwithhope.com/recycle.
Thanks, Gracie.